Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessings that you've bestowed on our community, and we pray for your guidance, that our decisions will be for the good of our community. Amen.
Amen. Please join me in the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Number one on the agenda is approval of the agenda.
Move approval.
We have a motion.
Second.
And a second. No further discussion. Call for the vote.
Mr. Estrada.
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez.
Yes.
Mr. Shirley.
Yes.
Ms. Waters.
Yes.
Mr. Walterscheid.
Yes.
Ms. Anaya Flores.
Yes.
Mr. Chavez.
Yes.
Mr. Carter.
Number two, City of Carlsbad Financials, July 2019. Ms. Austin.
Mayor, Council, thank you for allowing me the opportunity to discuss our financials with you. As you can see, I did put a disclaimer in the financials that states that they're not fully reconciled, and this is only because we're working through the transition from AS 400 to Munis, and in Munis we'll actually have a reconciliation module, and it's going to be very nice. Right now we reconcile outside the system and spreadsheets, and it's very difficult. So once we're have this module implemented, we should be able to see the financials a lot quicker moving forward, so that's a positive. I am pleased to announce that our revenues are above budget. Let me find this page. Excuse me. Okay, our revenues of $9.5 million are $623,000 favorable to the $8.9 million budget, which is 1% above target. So this is only for the period of July. Our labor of $3.7 million is $390,000 favorable to the $4 million budget and on target. Our capital expenditures of $3.9 million are actually $254,000 above target, which is good because, as you know, we sometimes have a difficult time spending all our capital in the current fiscal year. So I'm pleased to report as of July, we're actually ahead of that target. So that's positive. That will conclude my summary unless there's any questions.
Questions or comments from Ms. Austin?
Wendy, I have a question for you, the only question I've ever had for you. What is it when you change the AS 400 to whatever you're doing? What is that?
Okay, we're going from AS 400, which is it's a workhorse, right? It's an antiquated accounting system that the city's been using for over 30 years, to Munis, which is an ERP, which is an enterprise resource system. So it includes not right now we have a system that's got all these different pieces that we have to always bring together in spreadsheets and that sort of stuff. Our new system is an integrated system that includes financials, payroll, HR, employee travel, fixed assets. I could keep going on, but it's an integrated system.
Further questions? Thank you, Ms. Austin.
Thank you.
Number three, consider approval of Resolution 2019-43, a resolution certifying the annual fixed asset inventory of the City of Carlsbad, New Mexico, as of June 30th, 2019. Again, Ms. Austin.
Thank you, Mayor. As you can see in your packet, we have the annual inventory review, which inventory is basically fixed assets. And per the state audit rule and NMSA 12-6-10, the city is required to do a fixed asset review of any fixed asset over $5,000. There's a lot of work that goes into this with all the directors doing their part, signing to their staff, and I'm pleased to report that we have a good review. Now we have our fixed asset coordinator making the adjustments based on the review, and we will be able to present this to our auditors when they're here in early October. So I would request that you please approve this resolution.
I've got one question, if I may, Mayor. There's some notes on the side about some actions that have to be taken. Is there a timeline for them?
Our auditors like to see that complete before they get here. So, yes.
Further questions?
And the adjustment would be made as of June 30th. So it's a review as of June 30th, and that's when the adjustment would be made.
Further questions or comments?
Make a motion for approval.
Second. We have a motion and a second. No further discussion. Call for the vote.
Mr. Estrada?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mr. Shirley?
Yes.
Ms. Waters?
Yes.
Mr. Walterscheid?
Yes.
Ms. Anaya Flores?
Yes.
Mr. Chavez?
Yes.
Mr. Carter?
Yes.
Thank you, Ms. Austin. Number four, routine and regular business. All matters under this heading are considered routine by the City Council and will be acted upon in one motion. There will be no separate discussion of these items. If discussion is desired on a particular item, upon request, that item may be removed from the routine and regular business and be considered separately.
Not a lot to get excited about there, so I'll make a motion for approval.
We have a motion.
Second.
And a second. No further discussion. Call for the vote.
Mr. Estrada?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mr. Shirley?
Yes.
Ms. Waters?
Yes.
Mr. Walterscheid?
Yes.
Ms. Anaya Flores?
Yes.
Mr. Chavez?
Yes.
Mr. Carter?
All items under routine and regular business have passed. Number five, consider approval of request for a temporary use business license by Wright's Amusements for a carnival located at the Carlsbad Mall, 2302 West Pierce. Mr. Patterson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, council members. As stated, this is a request for the issuance of a business license by Wright's Amusement to hold a carnival at 2302 West Pierce Street, which is the mall property. They want to host this event from September 12th through September 15th. They have provided everything that the city requires to issue a business license. They did get in their letter from the property owner stating the property owner knows about the event and approves. We would recommend approval with the following conditions. The applicant shall comply with all applicable requirements of the Code of Ordinances, Chapter 28, Article 2. The applicant shall furnish the city with copies of all forms and inspections required under the Carnival Ride Insurance Act, NMSA 1978, prior to operation. The applicant shall ensure that all trash is cleaned from the site daily and at the end of the event. And it does show in your packet approximately where they want to set the carnival up. It's to the rear of the mall. On the north side.
Questions or comments from Mr. Patterson?
Isn't that going to be a problem behind the mall? It seemed like you'd have a lot of traffic issues back there. But
It could present some mobility issues, but I think that probably that'd be the better place at that property than in the front. So, and maybe they were just looking for a place that's more level. You know, that parking lot's kind of sloped in a lot of places.
Further questions for Mr. Patterson?
I have a couple of questions. Do we have a representative from Wright's here tonight?
Or? I'm not sure.
Have they done a carnival with us or in Carlsbad before?
Do you know? I don't recall their name. That doesn't mean that they haven't, but you know, Bennett's, I've dealt with them. I don't recall Wright's, but okay. I would have to search the records to see.
Okay. All right. I know they're not here tonight. The biggest issue I have is just that they're starting the carnival on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
Today's Tuesday. They started moving in their stuff today before they got approval.
Right.
So I don't necessarily have a problem with it. I just think that's bad.
Kind of last minute.
Yeah, but that's not any of our fault. I'm just...
Well, I mean, we try to accommodate what we can, and they did kind of come in last minute wanting to push this through as quickly as possible because they wanted to set up this week. They were fortunate we had a council meeting that they could get on the agenda for, but you know, there's nothing in the ordinance that says they have to put in so far ahead of time. But you know, I mean, it's always the will of the council. If you guys don't feel like there's been enough time
right.
to mull this over, then it's your authority to deny it if you feel so.
One other question I have. Do we have, we say that they have to clean up their trash. What if they don't clean up their trash? Do we cite them? How does that work?
I think that we could cite the property owner and have them either clean up the trash or answer for it, you know, in our way, whether or not it's bringing them in front of the municipal judge, and then probably put down in the record that, you know, Wrights was a bad actor, you know, I mean, we'd
and I don't have
put that in the record to say that we approved and the condition was that they clean up. If they don't do it, then maybe the next time they want to, we say no.
I was just curious.
Right.
I'd move approval.
We have a motion to approve. A second. No further discussion. Call for the vote.
Mr. Estrada.
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez.
Yes.
Mr. Shirley.
Yes.
Ms. Waters.
Yes.
Mr. Walterscheid.
Yes.
Ms. Anaya Flores.
Yes.
Mr. Chavez.
Yes.
Mr. Carter.
Yes.
Number six, consider approval of request for a temporary use application to allow temporary housing as a temporary use for 2.45 acres located at 3221 National Parks Highway, Carlsbad, New Mexico. Applicant, Mega Power Electric, Shane Carpenter. Mr. Patterson.
Again, thank you, Mr. Mayor, council members. As stated, this is a request to allow temporary housing in the form of RVs at the subject property, 3221 National Parks Highway. That property is zoned C2 commercial, so it has the correct zoning for this request. And as stated, it's 2.45 acres, so it meets the size requirement. In your package, you'll see that the applicant has provided city staff with a site plan showing approximately where the RVs will be located. This item was brought before the Planning and Zoning Commission at the August meeting, and they voted 5 in favor of denial to recommend denial to council, because at that meeting the applicant had failed to present an adequate site plan. He did so between the P&Z and council meetings. However, we would still recommend denial.
Questions for Mr. Patterson?
Or at least...
I have a question.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, JJ.
I had a question on number six. It says the subject property is approximately 2.45 acres combined. What is combining? Are we putting two lots together? It was stated in our ordinance that we weren't going to combine lots anymore.
I think that it is multiple property, or the property that Mega Power is on is multiple lots. It's all really one property. It's separated on paper, but if you do combine the properties there, it would be over the 2 acre a minimum. So that's something, you know, that has to be taken into account, though, if that is something that you feel like should not be approved, then technically that would be correct. I think at the very least, you know, this site plan was provided after the Planning and Zoning Commission meeting, so they did not get to see this and look at it. I think that it's only appropriate that for them to make a recommendation after the site plan's been put. They need to see it. So at the very least, it probably needs to be remanded back to Planning and Zoning.
Question for Mr. Patterson?
Was this plan brought to P&Z after they were warned about already having the trailers on site, or did they come in prior to being warned?
They were warned about having the RVs on site months ago, and this is what caused them to start the process to get the temporary use in place. I'm not sure what their holdup was in getting us the full application and site plan, but this has been an ongoing issue with this applicant for a while.
Are you a representative? Will you state your name for the record?
I'm owner of Mega Power Electric.
Okay, go ahead.
This temporary housing is just for RV spots, and it's just for my guys. We all know we have housing issues here, and it's just trying to supplement some of my crew that we're having to hire from out of state. I apologize if it took a while. We put in everything. The last meeting, I was not able to make the planning and zoning due to an emergency, but we gave them this site plan. We weren't aware that it had to be on a scaled drawing, so when we were told that, we went back and we did get that and submitted it. But this is not for any rental use or nothing like that. This is in the back of our yard, in a fenced yard, private yard, just for our workers.
Questions or comments from the council?
I have a question for Jeff again. How many times did this get tabled? I know it went to P&Z a couple of times, if not several.
Yeah, at least three. I want to say that it was tabled at least three times. I'd have to check to be accurate on that, but it's been tabled quite a few times.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Patterson. Further comments or questions?
I sympathize with Mr. Carpenter. I understand what it's like trying to find people locally. I'd hate to set a precedent by not having representation at a P&Z meeting, them not getting to review it and make a recommendation. I think that their denial is more based on nobody being there to walk them through it.
Exactly.
So personally, I'd like to see it go back before P&Z and then make a recommendation to us, because I have a feeling that it may change. Maybe it won't. I don't know. But I would like to see what their recommendation is based on his presence at the meeting and his site plan.
Hmm.
I'll second that.
And that's a motion?
Yes, sir.
We have a second.
We have a second. No further discussion. Call for the vote.
Yes.
Mr. Estrada.
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez.
Yes.
Mr. Shirley.
Yes.
Ms. Waters.
Yes.
Mr. Walterscheid.
Yes.
Ms. Anaya Flores.
Yes.
Mr. Chavez.
Yes.
Mr. Carter.
Yes.
Number 7, consider approval of resolution 2019-44, a resolution for the defeasance payoff of the joint water and sewer refunding and improvement bonds. Ms. Austin.
Mayor, Council, thank you again for giving me the opportunity to speak with you again tonight. What you have before you is a resolution to basically redeem or pay off our water and sewer bonds. There's multiple benefits to this, but primarily it will save the city $1.8 million in interest, and in addition help the city with its concerns regarding some debt covenants. I'd also like to say that this has gone through the Budget Committee and Council on several occasions. And in addition, I have here with me, I've been working closely with, is Eric Harrigan. He's with RBC Capitals, and he's been our financial advisor. And also Daniel Alsup with Module, and they've been our legal counsel throughout this process. And I'll let them speak briefly.
So good evening, mayors, members of the council. Eric Harrigan with RBC Capital Markets. We're the city's municipal advisor. As Ms. Austin mentioned, so the resolution before you will redeem the outstanding 2009 joint utility bonds. The redemption of those bonds will, one, do a number of things. It is your highest cost debt. That debt has an average coupon of about 4.8%. So by paying that by paying it off now, it'll save about a little over $3.8 million in total interest over the life of the bonds, and it will also bring your debt covenants more in line with what is considered best practices when it comes to utility finance. So we would certainly recommend the redemption of these bonds. I'd be happy to answer any questions that the council would.
Questions or comments from the council? Thank you.
Mayor, the Budget Committee's had an opportunity to listen to the presentation, ask questions, and I feel like this is the most prudent action for the city to take, and I would highly recommend that we, I would move that we move forward with this.
Yeah. We have a motion and a second. If no further discussion, call for the vote.
Mr. Estrada?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mr. Shirley?
Yes.
Ms. Waters?
Yes.
Mr. Walterscheid?
Yes.
Ms. Anaya Flores?
Yes.
Mr. Chavez?
Yes.
Mr. Carter?
Yes.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Number eight, consider approval of Resolution 2019-45, a resolution requiring the removal of the trash and debris at 510, 512, and 514 North Alameda. Owner Jonathan Samaniego. Ms. Reardon.
This property consists of three lots at the corner of North Alameda and Bonbright. There's a number of structures on it, including some single-family houses, and way in the back is a two-story apartment complex, I think formerly used as an apartment complex. This is not looking at the structures at this time. What this is looking at is weed and debris. This is property that has not been well maintained. It does not appear to be occupied. Code enforcement has tried repeatedly to get the property cleaned up by the owners. That's Jonathan Samaniego. It has not been brought into compliance. The concern is with the amount of weeds on it, that it, if it's not maintained, that when they dry out at the end of summer, that they become a fire hazard. It was inspected both by code enforcement and by the fire marshal. They found that it was in violation of city codes, and their recommendation, since it wasn't being brought voluntarily into compliance, was to bring it in front of council for essentially a council resolution. As usual, a certified letter was sent to Mr. Samaniego. According to the online records of the post office, the letter has been out for them to pick up since September 5th, and it has not been picked up. If this resolution is adopted by council tonight, once he is served either through personal service or by publication and posting, if we cannot find him for personal service, he will have 30 days to bring the property into compliance.
Question for Ms. Reardon. Is Mr. Samaniego here tonight?
I would move to move forward with the cleanup.
We have a motion and a second. No further discussion. Call for the vote.
Mr. Estrada?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mr. Shirley?
Yes.
Ms. Waters?
Yes.
Mr. Walterscheid?
Yes.
Ms. Anaya Flores?
Yes.
Mr. Chavez?
Yes.
Mr. Carter?
Yes.
Number nine, consider approval of appeal of the decision by the Planning and Zoning Commission to deny a variance request for the placement of a structure within the required 5-foot side setback at 204 West Riverside Drive, zoned R2, Residential 2 District. Appellant, Ray Peters and Mr. Patterson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, council members. As stated, this is an appeal of the decision by the Planning and Zoning Commission to deny a variance request to the appellant, Ray Peters, at his property at 204 West Riverside Drive. The appellant is looking to place a parking structure slash storage in his 5-foot setback on the west side of his property. He brought this item before the Planning and Zoning Commission at the August 5th meeting. They voted to deny his request with a vote of 5 in favor of denial and then opposed. The appellant submitted a letter to my department stating that he wanted to appeal this decision, and he states in his letter, Section 56-150C-4B, where conflicting evidence exists, the appeal is limited to determine what evidence or testimony bears the greatest credibility. The appellant feels that statements that were given by members of the public at that Planning and Zoning Commission meeting unfairly influenced the decision of the commission, so he is bringing this item before the council to appeal that decision.
Question for Mr. Patterson. Thank you, Mr. Patterson. And Mr. Peters, do you have a statement you'd like to make?
Yes, I'm Ray Peters, Desert Sky Construction, owner of 204 West Riverside Drive. I'd like to add a few things to what I didn't add to this. The building next to me, I think the main concern is fire, so I'd like to, you know, reinforce my my thought that the building is eight. The building next to me is 8.5 foot from my property line. It's 95% Class 1 fire rating. It's of brick. It drain the drainage of my it's going to be a carport, garage, patio is what it is. And the part against the structure next to me will be a Class 1 up to 6 foot tall, and then a Class 2 the rest of the way up. So it'll be a 2 hour fire burn, which would satisfy the fire code that it would actually be better. So I'm going to read it because I'm not a good talker, so I'll just read it. The property is going to drain, so it won't drain to the property next door to me. It'll be draining south and north, the new structure. The apartment is west of me, and they've been there for years. The building is two lots, so it's never been vacated. The lot hasn't, so it's been there for a while, and it's not been updated. The apartment building should be zoned commercial. It's not. If it was, I wouldn't have to be here tonight, and I could do it without this meeting. The multi-use structure, carport, garage, patio will have a Class 1 fire rating at 6 foot tall, and then a Class 2 from there on. 2 hour burn. It's 16 foot tall. You're supposed to have a 5 foot setback. I'll still have my setback, but it'll be between the two structures, so the fire department will still have access to the backyard. So it's the same thing. You're just moving the 5 foot from one to an access between the two, my house and the garage. Okay, there will be a 4 foot opening to get, so they'll be able to get to the backyard. Okay, it will help block the eyesore. There will be a 12 foot garage door from the front. Open up the 12 foot garage door. You go to the back, you can open the 12 foot garage door, 12 by 12, and you'll be able to drive a truck back in there. That's for access to my backyard, because I'm getting ready to build a boat garage in my backyard, so I have to have access to it. So the fire department also will have access to that, through there. And if I'm not there, they'll still have access through the breezeway between my house and the new garage. And that's about it. Good luck. I hope I get it.
Question for Mr. Peters.
How big is your proposed structure? How wide, how deep?
It's 20 foot wide. The first part of the garage first part of the carport is 20 foot deep. The garage part would be 20 foot, and the patio part would be 20 foot. So it would be about 60 foot total, or 28 foot. That's 24 carport, 28 garage, and then 20 foot patio, which those two will be open, the patio and the patio and the carport will be open. The 28 foot will be the only concern, which will be a fire rating of Class 1 and Class 2 with a 2 hour burn. So, and then the building itself is 8.5 foot from that, so it would actually be better than it setting in 5 foot. And the only other problem with the fire department is accessible, but they'll still be accessible through the breezeway between the two buildings because they're not attached. It just moves one accessibility to the breezeway in the middle of the next accessibility.
Further questions from the council?
What does the ordinance read? What does it say?
Did you have a question? Yeah, go ahead.
The 5 foot, where does the 5 foot at? I mean, you say you provided, but I'm not seeing where it's at, the 5 feet.
The 5 foot is the setback is supposed to be from my property line to the new structure.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm proposing to not have that 5 foot setback, but to have an access still on the other side of the structure. So they'll still, that's set up for, so the fire department have access to your backyard, and just by moving it, they'll still have access to my backyard. And, being that it is on my line, it needs to be a fire rating. So it can actually be a full Class 1 fire rating, but fire 2 is, I have the materials and I was wanting to use a Class 1 and a Class 2. But if necessary, I could make it all Class 1.
Councilman Walsh, did you have a question?
Eileen, what does the ordinance say? Is it all houses supposed to be this way? What's the world? What kind of rules are we supposed to abide by?
Mr. Patterson, can you answer that?
You're asking about the setback requirement?
Yeah.
Well, for his zoning, R2, is he's required, based on the building height, to have at least 5 feet between his property line and the nearest structure.
Do most people have that, or all people have that?
I would say the majority of people probably do have that. There have been variances given in the past, and maybe some structures placed prior to that rule being in the ordinance, but we try not to deviate from it.
Hey, I would also ask Chief Lopez if he does have some input on this.
Yes, Mayor. I couldn't hear the question from back there, sorry.
The question is, do you have input on the setback in this particular case?
Yes, Mayor. Council, the ordinances are, or the setbacks are set for good reason. I mean, let's just call it what it is. And yes, throughout Carlsbad, people do get variances from time to time, and it could create a problem later down the road. The information of the way it was going to be constructed and the access between the house and the new structure, I didn't have at the time when we reviewed this. But, and I appreciate what he's done with the way he's going to construct it. That is helpful. What happens with the next owner and they close off that access? We don't know. He can't answer that either. I mean, because we don't know what the future holds. So for me, the variances, I think, should be few and far between. And it's easier that way. But again, I didn't have the information of how or what he was going to construct it of, which does make it better. He has, I'll give him that, compared to just the carport that gets put up over the weekend. So, you know, he's done his homework, and I do appreciate that piece of it. But I do believe the setbacks are for a good reason.
Okay. Question for Chief Lopez? Thank you, Chief.
Thank you, Mayor.
I get a question for Mr. Patterson. Jeff, if the apartment complex, that's commercial, is that correct?
I believe it's zoned R2, which allows for apartments in that zone.
Okay. I wasn't sure what it was zoned. So their setback would also be 5 foot, so there's no chance?
Their setback's probably closer to 7.5 feet.
I mean, no, it would
based
require
on
setback.
Sidewall height.
Okay.
So... it's a two-story, so it's either going to be 7.5 feet, I think, or up to 10 feet, depending on what the height is of that sidewall on that side.
Okay.
Further questions? Mr. Patterson? Anybody? Okay, thank you. Anything else, Mr. Peterson?
Yeah, I'd also like to add that it is a... contemporary style. It's not ugly. It's a beautiful building, just like my house. It's going to match, and well, it won't match. It'll be different, but it'll be a beautiful contemporary style building that will enhance the neighborhood. It'll make that neighborhood look great.
Any further questions for Mr. Peters? Thank you, Mr. Peters.
Mayor, I'd move to uphold the P&Z's denial.
We have a motion to uphold.
Second.
A second. No further discussion. Call for the vote.
Mr. Estrada?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mr. Shirley?
Yes.
Ms. Waters?
Yes.
Mr. Walterscheid?
Yes.
Ms. Anaya Flores?
Yes.
Mr. Chavez?
Yes.
Mr. Carter?
What's about it?
So it is...
It's upheld.
It's upheld.
Okay. The denial is upheld. Thank you. Number 10, consider approval of Ordinance 2019-36, an ordinance authorizing the execution and delivery of a loan agreement between the City of Carlsbad and New Mexico Finance Authority for the refunding of the gross receipts tax revenue bonds. A, public hearing, and B, consider approval of Ordinance 2019-36. And again, Ms. Austin.
Mr. Mayor, thank you. This is the second part of our attempt to refund or pay off our debts. We have earlier, 2 items ago, you approved the payoff of the water and sewer bonds. This is for the general obligation bonds. So this, we would certainly like to pay off both bonds, but that wasn't possible at the time. So this one is actually to refinance the bonds. And this this finance, it doesn't extend the years. We still have 10 years remaining. In addition, these bonds would be callable, where other bonds weren't callable. So if we see in the future where we have the funds to go ahead and redeem these bonds, we're able to do that. We don't have to wait 10 years. In addition, it will save the city approximately $500,000 in interest. And again, myself, I've been working very closely with Mr. Harrigan and Mr. Ossoff, and I'll let them speak.
So, good evening again, mayors, members of the council. Eric Harrigan with RBC Capital Markets. So last month I was before you introducing the refunding, and at the time the refunding was expected to generate about $467,000 in present value savings. The timing of the city was very good, and the city did lock in pricing the same week that interest rates hit an all-time historical low for tax-exempt debt. So the actual interest rate savings ended up being about $568,000 instead of the $467,000 originally, which was about 14.7% of the par amount being refunded. The 2009 state share gross receipts tax bonds, which are being refunded, had an interest rate of 4.6%. And the interest rate on the new refunding loan is 1.8%. That's the all-in TIC, and that difference is creating those interest savings. Again, as Ms. Austin mentioned, this refunding does not extend or change the final maturity of the prior bonds, and the annual savings to the city is about $60,000. And with that, I would be happy to answer any questions that you have for the refinancing, or turn it over to Daniel Alsop with the module law firm to go over the legal document that's before you.
Questions or comments from the council? Yeah, thank you. We're now convening as a public hearing. Do we have anyone that would like to speak for the ordinance? For the ordinance. If not, do we have anyone that would like to speak against the ordinance? Against the ordinance. If not, we'll reconvene as a city council to consider approval of ordinance 2019-36.
Make a motion for approval, Mayor.
We have a motion to approve and a second. No further discussion. Call for the vote.
Mr. Estrada?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mr. Shirley?
Yes.
Ms. Waters?
Yes.
Mr. Walterscheid?
Yes.
Ms. Anaya Flores?
Yes.
Mr. Chavez?
Yes.
Mr. Carter?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you, Council.
Number 11, consider approval of ordinance 2019-37, an ordinance rezoning part of RR Rural Residential District to R2 Residential 2 District for an approximately 6.00-acre property located at 301 West Chapman Road. A, public hearing. And B, consider approval of ordinance 2019-37. And we're now convening as a public hearing. And Mr. Patterson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, council members. As stated, this is a request to change the zoning of the subject property 301 West Chapman from RR Rural Residential District to R2 Residential 2 District. The applicant, I believe, plans to locate an new apartment complex on the property. The request for R2 zoning fits that request. Originally, the applicant had requested C1 zoning, which is a lighter scale commercial, which also allows for apartments. The planning department suggested that they look for R2 to better fit the surrounding residential uses. So the applicant did formally change his request to R2 Residential 2 zoning instead of C1, and that's what the Planning and Zoning Commission considered. And they considered this item at the August 5th, 2019 meeting, and they voted 5 in favor and 9 against to recommend approval.
Questions for Mr. Patterson?
Jeff, does your applicant understand the issues with the apartment complex, where they're going to locate it, you know, infrastructure issues?
He's had multiple meetings with my department, and I think he's met with our other city department, so it's been communicated to him the infrastructure or lack of down Chapman Road, and knows the work that's going to be involved. And the city will continue to work with him on those issues. So,
further questions for Mr. Patterson? Thank you, Mr. Patterson. Anyone for the ordinance? Speak for the ordinance. If not, do we have anyone that wants to speak against the ordinance? Against the ordinance. If not, we'll now reconvene as a city council to consider approval of ordinance 2019-37.
This is down the street from me, so I would vote for approval.
We have a motion to approve and a second. No further discussion. Call for the vote.
Mr. Estrada?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mr. Shirley? Ms. Waters?
Yes.
Mr. Walterscheid?
Yes.
Ms. Anaya Flores?
Yes.
Mr. Chavez?
Yes.
Mr. Carter?
You're approved. Number 12, consider approval of ordinance 2019-38, an ordinance rezoning part of C2 Commercial 2 District to R2 Residential 2 District for an approximately 0.275 acre property located at 308 West Rose Street. A, public hearing. B, consider approval of ordinance 2019-38. And we'll now convene as a public hearing. And again, Mr. Patterson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, council members. As stated, this is a request to change the zoning from C2 Commercial 2 District to R2 Residential 2 District for the subject property located at 308 West Rose Street. When we look at the properties to the west, south, and east, they're all zoned C2 currently. However, when you look at the actual use, they're all non-conforming residential uses, so it's a residential area. I believe that the applicant wishes to place some form of housing on the property, and that's the reason for the request to go to R2 Residential 2 in order to do that. The applicant presented this item at the Planning and Zoning Commission at their August 5th, 2019 meeting, and that commission recommended approval of this request as a vote of 4 in favor, none against, and 1 abstain.
Question for Mr. Patterson? Thank you, Mr. Patterson. Anyone in the audience want to speak for the ordinance? For the ordinance. If not, do we have anyone that wants to speak against the ordinance? Against the ordinance. If not, we'll now reconvene as a city council to consider approval of ordinance 2019-38.
Approval.
We have a motion to approve.
Second.
And a second. No further discussion. Call for the vote.
Mr. Estrada?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mr. Shirley?
Yes.
Ms. Waters?
Yes.
Mr. Walterscheid?
Yes.
Ms. Anaya Flores?
Yes.
Mr. Chavez?
Yes.
Mr. Carter?
Yes.
Number 13, consider approval of ordinance 2019-39, an ordinance rezoning part of C2 Commercial 2 District to C1 Commercial 1 District for an approximately 0.43 acre property located at 513 to 527 Fox Street and 206 South Guadalupe. A, public hearing, and B, consider approval of ordinance 2019-39. And we'll now convene as a public hearing. And again, Mr. Patterson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, council members. As stated, this request is to change the zoning for the subject property from C2 Commercial 2 District to C1 Commercial 1 District. And there's multiple addresses involved in this, but it's all on one property. If you were to drive down Fox Street and see the subject property, you'd see that there's multiple small apartments located on the property. The applicant wishes to change the zoning to C1, which allows for that residential use, but keeps an aspect of commercial use with the property. They presented this item to the Planning and Zoning Commission at the August 5th meeting, and that commission voted 5 in favor, none against, to recommend approval of this request.
questions for Mr. Patterson? Thank you, Mr. Patterson. Do we have anyone that would like to speak for the ordinance? For the ordinance. If not, do we have anyone that would like to speak against the ordinance? Against the ordinance. If not, we'll now reconvene as a city council to consider approval of ordinance 2019-39.
I make that motion.
We have a motion to approve.
Second.
A second. If no further discussion, call for the vote.
Mr. Estrada?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mr. Shirley?
Yes.
Ms. Waters?
Yes.
Mr. Walterscheid?
Yes.
Ms. Anaya Flores?
Yes.
Mr. Chavez?
Yes.
Mr. Carter?
Yes.
Number 14, consider approval of ordinance 2019-40, an ordinance rezoning part of C2 Commercial 2 District to C1 Commercial 1 District for an approximately 0.115-acre property located at 701 West Green Street, A, public hearing, and B, consider approval of ordinance 2019-40. And we're now convened as a public hearing, and again, Mr. Patterson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, council members. As stated, this is a request to change the zoning for the subject property, 701 West Green Street, from C2 Commercial 2 District to C1 Commercial 1 District. I have the applicant, I believe, wants to place some sort of housing on the property. Currently, I believe the property is vacant. The properties to the north, east, and west are currently zoned C2 Commercial 2 District. The property to the south is zoned R1 Residential 1 District. The zone change would create a spot zone, but as stated, the applicant proposes to place a duplex, which will conform with the surrounding, any surrounding residential and the light commercial in the area. The applicant presented this item before the Planning and Zoning Commission at their August 5th meeting, and they voted to recommend approval of this request with a vote of 5 in favor and none against.
Question for Mr. Patterson. Thank you, Mr. Patterson. Do we have anyone that would like to speak for the ordinance? For the ordinance. If not, do we have anyone that would like to speak against the ordinance? Against the ordinance. If not, we'll now reconvene as a city council to consider approval of ordinance 2019-40. We have a motion to approve.
Second.
And a second. If no further discussion, call for the vote.
Mr. Estrada?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mr. Shirley?
Yes.
Ms. Waters?
Yes.
Mr. Walterscheid?
Yes.
Ms. Anaya Flores?
Yes.
Mr. Chavez?
Yes.
Mr. Carter?
Thank you, Mr. Patterson. We will call on you no more than that. Number 15, council committee reports. And to begin with, we're going to ask Chief Skinner to give us an update on police department. You remember?
Mm-hmm.
Welcome.
Thank you, Mayor and council members. I definitely appreciate the opportunity to address the entire council tonight. I welcome these opportunities to speak with this particular group of officials and share a little bit about the police department with the entire community. I've been fortunate enough to be a part of the successful transition during my 10 years as chief of police of the police department, and the police department itself has underwent numerous positive changes. The changes would not be possible if not for the dedication of the men and women of the Carlsbad Police Department. I could speak to a long list of distinguished and successful changes we have made, but I would rather highlight some of the changes I feel that are most substantial. First of all, from patrol staffing, our patrol staffing was at 16 officers on April 1st, 2018. At that time, the department was allotted 31 positions for the patrol division, which effectively left 15 open patrol positions at that point. Since that time, on top of the 31 positions, the city has allotted us 6 more additional officer positions and an actual dispatcher position, bringing us to a grand total of 37 allotted patrol officer positions. We currently have 35 of those positions filled, Five of them are in the police academy in Hobbs, New Mexico, awaiting graduation in December of this year. And I hate to jinx myself, but I believe we're on track to have the last two positions filled before Thanksgiving of this year. We've really restructured our internal processes for hiring and definitely adopted new recruiting strategies, which have allowed us to reach out to the surrounding region at a level that I don't believe we ever have before. Obviously, I think our high retention rate has played a factor in this as well. It's one thing to be able to kind of streamline your hiring process and recruiting people, but if you're not able to retain the people that you bring through the door, then it's kind of a vicious cycle that we've tried to end. So obviously, our retention rate is up, and therefore, we've been able to bring up our staffing number. Scheduling, that's something that I'd like to talk about because we're one of the few 24/7 businesses in the city. So scheduling has always been a big problem. If you've ever known anything about the Carlsbad Police Department, we've always worked a traditional 8-hour, 5-8, or we've worked emergency 12s, which allows for varying days off. We've recently been able to make a transition to a 10-hour schedule, which I think is very important because I think if you can envision, which I know a lot of you know a lot about scheduling stuff from the various places that you've worked and what you know about the city, but we've basically kind of had this ships passing in the night theory, one shift's on, another shift's going on. I think you can probably see some of the problems it leads to. Some of the work becomes very tedious. It doesn't allow for really effective communication between our officers. And I think that allows some things to slip through the cracks, unfortunately, when you're not able to communicate because of scheduling. So we've been able to come up to a staffing level that has allowed us to adopt a 10-hour work schedule. Again, we think this is very important because we're trying to provide a high quality of life for our officers, which will add to our retention rate, will add to employee satisfaction, and hopefully produce a better officer for the citizens of Carlsbad. That being said, I think it's also good for the police department in the sense that we have used statistical data to try to identify some of our times that we have high commission rates of crime and things of that nature, and that's where we've tried to provide our overlap. So at that time, you have two shifts of officers out on the street, which is good in the sense that visibility is a big part of what we do. Being visible to the public is a large part of providing deterrent, providing service, and things of that nature. But also, I feel like that it turns us from being reactive officers into proactive officers. Our guys have found different ways to go out and do proactive policing and address it from that standpoint instead of just being the people that show up when you call for service. That has been going on for a little while. We're hoping that we've already seen some of the effects. We're hoping that it becomes extremely noticeable to the community. I've had a lot of community members come in and say, when did the police department double up? Where did we get all these officers? I'm not used to seeing this many cars on the street and things of that nature. And we took the time to survey a lot of people, and it's funny, we just had Citizens Academy and another Citizens Academy starting last week, and we asked a lot of people in the room, how many times do you see an officer vehicle pass your residence in a week? The highest number we had was twice. Almost, that was one particular, I think seven other people said once. That's something we're not going for, right? And because to me, part of what we're doing with our schedule is giving our guys the ability to patrol the community, right? To go out and proactively patrol the community. So we're really excited about that. We hope you guys will be too. Again, not to keep going back to staffing, but what I think is important too is the staffing of our other divisions. Because we've been able to staff our patrol, that alone seems like a success, but I would like to tell you that we've hired at a rate and retained at a rate that not only have we staffed our patrol at the level that we want, but we've staffed our other divisions that have kind of either that weren't in existence or were kind of defunct. For example, we've been able to dedicate time to a full-time traffic division, which consists of three officers. We had tried the traffic division in the past. I think anybody would tell you that it was up and down, and most of the time it was down and not up because we were kind of robbing from it to supplement patrol, and now we have a full-time traffic division. I'm glad that you guys have all already seen the motorcycles and that. We were able to do that last budget year, outfit them with the motorcycles. And I think our enforcement of traffic laws is an all-time high. During the revamp of this traffic division, we worked closely with Ms. Reardon. I definitely want to pay her a lot of respect and kudos, because that wasn't an easy task, and she put a lot of time into it. We worked on city ordinances as well as the penalty assessment schedules, which I think had needed to be revisited and revised for a long time. Again, with the help of Ms. Reardon, we were able to complete that, and I feel like we have a much more efficient system, and one that, again, I think the city's needed for a long time. We're definitely seeing positive results from those revisions. I can say the police department is now contributing manpower to the Pecos Valley Drug Task Force at three times it was when I took over the police department. We've seen, unfortunately, a large rise in the narcotics trafficking business in southeastern New Mexico, and we're definitely dedicated to helping combat that crisis, as well as all the collateral damage that comes out of fighting that crisis as well. Our canine division, it got off the ground just before I took over as chief, but it seemed we've definitely undergone some growing pains when it comes to that. But we have developed very recently into a regionally utilized division, and I think we have a growing reputation of hard work and excellence. In recent months, I know that maybe some of you have seen the news, we're helpful to initiate a bomb squad division at the Carlsbad Police Department. In fact, I just met with the FBI today. We're very hopeful that we're going to be working with our federal counterparts, and hope that what was really a vision for us to get that grounded, get that division initiated, will someday become a reality. Our school resource officer and our education officer programs, which again are all programs that have been robbed from in the past, we've pulled people from those divisions to go help our patrol division in the past, and now we've actually dedicated all that manpower back out, and because they've been in those positions full time, I think they've been able to grow and flourish and continue to grow and offer services to the school and the community that they've never offered before. I'd definitely like to add in, I know that Ms. Austin talked about it earlier tonight, we went live on our Tyler computer-aided dispatch system in November of 2018, which is also included the MUNIS side of things from the financial standpoint, and I think it's definitely made our officers much more efficient. And the fact that, be honest with you, the best way I explain is we've brought 21st century technology to Carlsbad Police Department. This same system I started using when I started policing in Farmington in 1999. We were using this particular system back, it's been available for the last, I think, 26 years is when they first hit the ground. And we're getting it here. We're doing it here. And I think it's all our guys are and men and women are seeing the benefit of that. It's allowing us to stay on the street. Kind of allows us to be able to turn our patrol units into what they're meant to. They're kind of your office, right? We're not wanting to spend a lot of time at the department, not trying to try to spend a lot of time finding a way to circumvent old technology when we're out there putting some of the latest, greatest stuff out. And I think we've seen the benefit from it, and it's made us much more efficient. So I definitely high praise for the people before me that suggested that, and definitely I definitely want to thank everybody in the city for that, because it's been a, I think everybody would agree that Tyler has been it's a citywide growing process, right? And we've addressed it at that level. I'm proud that the city is addressing it at that level, and the CAD system for us has been our small piece of the pie, but definitely hats off to everybody in the city that's put a lot of time and effort into that. So like I said, I hope to provide these reports to you guys yearly, semi-annual, whatever you'd want, because I definitely believe, and I think our police department believes, in complete transparency with the council and community. There's a lot of exciting things going on inside the building that we welcome the opportunity to share with you guys. I definitely want to thank the city and the council for making public safety an area of focus, and for allocating resources to it in order for us to grow and to expand the services we offer the community. In closing, I'd like to say that I believe and hope that others believe that the Carlsbad Police Department is on a sustainable path to success. There were many things that our department needed to address as a team before we could think about moving towards a path of repeated long-term success. We had to take an honest look in the mirror and do some critical self-evaluation as an entire department. that wasn't an easy task and an easy chore, and it's still ongoing, but that self-evaluation led our team to determine that we had to make substantial changes in our police culture, in our internal processes, our overall efficiency, and our approach to present and future policing needs. All of these things were crucial to a sustained success in the future, and it cost us absolutely nothing. That's a great thing about some of these things you need to fix or change or repair is these things were for free. And we continue to work on those things every day, because I would tell you, you know, I know there's a lot of times that everybody in the city, as far as our directors and stuff, and we come to the city and we're asking for more. We're asking for more resources. We're asking for dedicated money to our departments and our divisions. And I would say this is, we recognize that we needed to change some things internally because I think that it can be a bad idea to throw to just throw money and resources is something to think that it's going to fix all your problems, because I think you guys as leaders know that's not the truth. I do think that we are getting to a point where we're starting to realize and think beyond what we're going to be as a police department next week, next month, next year. We're trying to build a team of strategic long-term thinkers. I think there are developing visions for where we want to go and what we want to be. I realize it's one thing to come in here and ask, but if we don't have a plan for what we're asking for, then I think that's a wasted resource. So in summary, do I think that we're where we need to be as a department? The honest answer is no. But to me, is there hope that we're going to get to where we want to be? And do we have a plan for where we want to be? For the first time, I'd say yes. I absolutely believe that we're going in a good direction, in the right direction. We're surrounded, to me, by, you know, like some of the best people in Carlsbad. I think we have a good staff, a good team of leaders, a good council. And I'm hoping, I think for us, it's important now that we're, as the police department, as we're developing and have developed our vision about what we would like to be in the future, what we can offer the community, how we can be the best department that we can be for the city of Carlsbad, is I leave you with this. I think that it's important for the council and the mayor and the city administrator to think about what type of department do you think the community wants? What type of police department do you think that it deserves? This has been a dynamic change, a very, very dynamic change that we've experienced here in Carlsbad. And I think we're all, as divisions, trying to struggle to try to keep up with that. I think we are lucky to have the good, committed, dedicated people, and I think we find a way to make it work. I definitely want to be part of whatever the solution is in the future. And like I said, I would just leave you with that, as I think we're interested now at the Carlsbad Police Department about hearing what type of department they would want in the future. Because I think we have a vision, and I believe that you guys probably have a vision, and it's definitely, I think, all of our jobs to make sure that we can make those visions maybe mesh together in some very workable way that's best for the community. So I appreciate your time tonight, and I definitely, if you guys have any questions, I would answer them.
Question from the council?
No, I'd like just to make a statement. I would like to thank you and all of the officers for all the hard work that you do and your leadership. We're where we are at now because of your leadership and their willingness to serve. And we appreciate you very much.
We do indeed.
Thank you very much.
Anyone else?
How many motorcycles do we have now?
We have three motorcycles. I know you don't get to see them all the time, but it's kind of been a work in progress. But yeah, we have three, and we're looking at maybe doing more with that down the road. The public seems to love them. The guys that ride them seem to love them, and they have definitely made a marked difference in what we're doing with our traffic enforcement.
Yeah. Good job. They are sneaky.
Experience, have we?
Anyone else? Councilman Charlie, did you have anything?
Yeah, I'd just say that for the first time in my tenure on the council, 7 years, I hear a lot of compliments about the police department. It's not that I heard constant complaints before, so I want to be careful if I say that, but I hear a lot of compliments now that I haven't heard before. So that's a testament to what you guys are doing.
We appreciate what you're doing. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any council committee reports? Anyone?
How's JJ doing in Washington?
JJ?
Yes, Mayor.
You got a report for what's going on up there?
We met with our delegation. We met with our own representative, Fletchitora Smalls. We got some good news. She's going to help us to try to get some additional funding for some roads. And we met with the WIP budget as well to the Senate, the House, and the local community, the council. We all agreed on $397 million for the WIP budget. So plus an additional $5 million. Hopefully for underground equipment, electrical equipment. So we're looking good. We got some additional meetings tomorrow as well with you all and Heinrich. So we're making good progress up here.
And who's up there with you?
Myself, Jack Rapato, and Representative John Heaton.
Good group. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Remember the Energy Summit Thursday starts at 7:30 and goes to 1 o'clock. Look forward to seeing you all there. Anyone else? If not, is there anyone in the audience that would like to address the council? If not, we'll move to number 16, and I'll call on Councilor Lisa and Haya Flores.
Mayor, I move that we adjourn, please.
We have a motion to adjourn.
Second.
We can get a second.
I got it over here.
Jason. That one over there first.
Call for the vote.
Mr. Estrada?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mr. Shirley?
Yes.
Mrs. Waters?
Yes.
Mr. Walterscheid?
Yes.
Ms. Anaya Flores?
Yes.
Mr. Chavez?
Yes.
Mr. Carter?
Yes.
We're adjourned.
Thanks, JJ.
Thank you.